Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just stand up just for a second. I just want you to have your morning exercise. That I just hope that's not all you get, but I just want the Holy Spirit to speak to all of us specifically. And only He can do that. I can't make you hear from God, but the Holy Spirit can. And we just receive His ministry today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, I notice that nobody carries a little notebook or anything with them. I just noticed that. Not one person. Do you have yours? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, you may be seated, and, oh, you have one too, okay. Not condemning, I just wondered if anybody ever really takes the time to write things down. At least I want to start with, again, I had been talking about a number of things last time I ministered, and the temporal and the eternal, that's the last part of my, I'll never get there, but I mean, walking in the temporal, walking in the eternal, and most of the time we unfortunately live our life in the temporal. And when I say temporal, I mean thinking about temporal things, and we don't realize that the Scripture teaches us that if you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. So what I tried to do is have, as I was saying last week, I was trying to have more than one season a day where every thought that I was cultivating was things from above, not things beneath. From above, where Christ sits on the right hand of the Father. And I have been trying to make my mind go there. One of the biggest problems that I see with the mind is that our mind drifts, and we don't know it's drifting. We're not using it to its full potential to focus on, you know, the reality of the truth. So, not accusing, I'm just saying that I found that I've never really fully learned how to use my mind properly. And there is no question that the Bible tells us how to use our mind. And God doesn't want it our mind drifting. And today, with so many different forms of communication, we're not using our mind the way we should. And then sometimes we wonder why, you know, that we're not getting the results that we should be getting in our relationship with God. And we don't realize, you know, the situation. And so, you know, I can't come up here and say, stop making your mind wander. You've been doing it, maybe a lot of that, all your life. And it's not an easy habit to break. So, just a thought, anyway. it made me think. I'm not saying at all that my mind doesn't wander. I don't mean that, but I've been trying to at least practice the presence of God by being focused on the truth of God and making my mind concentrate on God. And so what I want to talk about just for a moment, okay, and I'm going to talk about, again, a little bit about the exchange on the cross. This has helped me understand the power of God. You know, the Bible says that the preaching of the cross is the power of God to them that believe. And I never fully grasp. So we're looking at John 19, 29 and 30. Let's look at that verse. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, and I'm not going to talk about the vinegar because there's great spiritual significance of the bitterness there. He said, "It is finished." Say, "It is finished." Now, that is a statement, one of the most powerful eternal statements in the world, yet most Christians don't know it. It is finished. Say it with me, it is finished.
It is finished.
Completing the transfer on the cross, and I really believe that every one of us need to have that memorized, and we need to have that scripture with us at all times. It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Say, it is finished. Now, a lot of things are finished, but we're talking about the work that Jesus did on the cross. He completely finished it, perfectly finished it. And so at least I knew enough to write the thing down. And if I can just remember the part where it says, Jesus finished. He provided for our eternal redemption. To me, I'm not sure that I made that, gave it the significance that I should have given it. You know, it'd be wonderful to have on that cross. I've got one at home that Jamie made me, and I'm trying to paint it, and I want to get a thing around the, and I want to put sozo on it, which is saved. But the idea that Jesus finished the work, and I'll talk about that in a second. We really need to know that. I mean, I'm talking not knowledge of it. We need to know it in our heart that Christ did a complete and finished work on the cross. Can we find out? Do we know the reference to it? Can we memorize the word, even though it might? Can we memorize that scripture in John 19, 29, and 30. See, is that too much? Or is it important enough to recognize what happened there when he said it's finished? He finished it for us. So let's look at the exchange just for a moment. 1 Corinthians 1:18. I think it's 1 Corinthians. Let's look at it. The preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God. And I always used to look at that scripture and never fully understand the power of God until I realized that when that exchange took place, that was a manifestation of the eternal power of God. Now, we know that nothing can ever equal the power of God. The world is full of all kinds of power. All kinds of power. All kinds of demonic power. All kinds of religious power. I was looking at something. It was something about the cabal, and they had everything lettered, and there was all this power. Well, that's satanic power. It can never, what I'm trying to tell you is it can never equal the power of Christ's resurrection. There's nothing that can, that's why I even sometimes have a little bit of trouble talking, using the word supernatural. There is supernatural power that comes from other places than Christ. But it's not the same power, and it will never equal the power of God. Satan can't equal it. He's got power. All different kinds of religious movements claim power, and a lot of times behind it is, it's Satan's power. There's only one power that's eternal, that gives us salvation or gives us redemption. And it can never be taken away unless we denounce it. I mean, God's power is real, permanent, eternal power. Okay? And that's why men work along the line of satanic power, because they haven't found the real power. And the world is full of it. A lot of it really sounds appealing. A lot of it gets results. You know, and it's just like it's just like Satan told Jesus when he appeared to him after his 40-day fast. He said, "You see all this in the world?" He says, "I'll give that to you if you'll just bow down and worship me." What is going on in our world? People are bowing down to the promises of power. Yeah, they're bowing down to it. And they don't realize that they are compromising with it. Okay, Satan can promise what he can do. He can promise wealth. And he promised the greatest temptation that maybe one of them, the greatest temptation that Jesus had. He says, I'll give you the wealth if you'll just bow down and worship me. I'll give you all the wealth of the world. I'll put you in charge of it. Well, the Antichrist will be in charge of it. Somebody went for it. I can't help but, you know, and I know what the scripture says. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Things are moving so fast, whether you realize it or not. I am shocked at all of these data centers they're setting up. Our nation is taken over. And some of you don't even know it's happening. Now, I'm not trying to be negative, but I'm just telling you that our country is being taken over by data centers. And the people that are involved in this, of course, are getting wealthy by participating in it or getting wealth. And I won't go beyond that. I didn't come to just look at find out what's going on. People are upset at their nation being taken over and they don't even have a say about it. Stop me, stop me, stop me. So now let's go back again to the exchange on the cross. Thank God Jesus overcame the world, right? No matter how bad it gets in the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Okay. And boy, oh boy, what a temptation. When you know what's going on. Now, the Bible says that the cross is the power of God to them that believe. So I decided, you know, not that you have to do that, but I'm gonna get a solar cross, and I'm going to, you know, I need to be constantly reminded that there's power in the cross. Since the day that Jesus was crucified on it, and that power will be forever. It's eternal. There is no place in time that we are not to glorify God for the cross or put our faith in the cross, in what Jesus did on the cross. This isn't something that he did in the past, even though he died on the cross in the past. But the power of that cross remains to this day. We were over at, I don't know why, I'm not being accusatory, but I thought, you know, we once a year we go over to, is it Zender or is it the place they sell all the...
Oh, Bronner's?
Bronner's. So I'm walking around in there and I'm looking and not one cross. Not one cross. So I'm going to have a cross, a little solar cross somewhere on my house. And you know what? I don't care what anybody thinks. How in the world would you not take the most important thing in the world and not, we have it here. We have it here. I thought about putting something outside, you know, a solar cross that, and to some people it's just a cross. Even to us it's just a cross. It's not, we don't know the importance of what that cross did. What it's done, not what it's done, but what it's done and what it will continue to do. It's an eternal reality. And without it, God does not honor his power. He doesn't honor it. We have to believe in the cross. I was listening to a thing. My wife's got some good stuff. She's got, what's the name of that guy? Tozer. I was listening to just a little bit on the way. She's got on her radio. And I was kind of shocked. You know, he was talking about five different kinds of worship. And he was talking about the ones that God doesn't receive. I could see where that would create a problem. And it just convicted me to the point of wanting to understand what God does receive. Okay, you want to sit down here? You come up here. Sometimes it's easy to go wrong, and we don't even know we went wrong. Okay, say it is finished.
It is finished.
Say it was finished on the cross. Boy, you need to be glorifying God every day for that reality. There are so many other things that distract us, and I'm not saying they're wrong, but we're more interested in thinking about those or magnifying those above worshiping God. For what Jesus did on the cross. And I'm guilty of that. You know, summer's here, I want to go camping. So it's the divine exchange. Now I just want you to get this. It's the divine exchange. Say divine exchange. And that divine exchange is, when we put our faith in it, it is the power of God to salvation to those that believe. Okay. Jesus took upon himself the cross, and the power of God being made available, receiving the truth of the divine exchange. Say, receiving the truth of the divine exchange. And when you don't even know what it is, then there's no way. You know what people do? And I'm not... They think that their identification with a denomination or a church, that God honors that. When they don't have a clue as to what Jesus did on the cross. Not a clue. Well, I go to so-and-so. Well, who cares where you go? What do you really know? What do you really believe? What is the real truth? You know, I've seen a lot of people think that because their identification with a name, a denomination, that's all they need. And I was just talking to Tony a little bit about 30, 35 years, no, probably 30, 35 years ago, I had materials that were cassette tapes. Just think of how far back that was. I don't even know if I can find them now. But I had a, I don't know if it was a series of teachings, but it, the, that they had, they told how they had infiltrated, listen to me, they told how they had infiltrated denominations. This gets serious. You got a bunch of ignorant people sitting under stuff that, and the people that the pastors that they put in charge of these denominations were done on purpose. To bring deception among people that don't take their salvation serious. If you don't take it serious, nobody's going to. And so, you know, and that's where the, I'm not going to name the denomination. I'm just, there were several of them that then went same-sex marriage. And they're to this day, that's what they teach. And I can tell you which ones they are. And I'm not saying every one of them, but I'm just saying that you got to be careful who you're listening to and what you're listening to. Okay, we'll go from there. But it's so he took on the sin of humanity, and we can now experience the power of God in no other way than this divine exchange on the cross. So there's a word, it's a Greek word, but it's sozo, saved, healed, delivered. That might be a good thing to put on the bottom of my. My cross is 6 feet high. It's a big one. I'm not going to carry it around in the car.
Not going to hang it from the mirror.
I got to paint it and get some, you know, and I'm definitely going to have, I'm not going to have it in the house, but I'm going to get a, I'll get a solar cross in the house. It's a, how are we doing for time? Are we still got a few minutes? I okay. Deception. Just remember that word because it is creeping in places where you should not, you don't believe it could be. When you've got pastors that are preaching same-sex marriage, and people begin to buy all that stuff because they don't know what the Word of God says. Okay. I was listening to one message that that you're born saved. Well, that isn't what the Bible teaches. See? It sounds good. You know, that God's in everybody. No, God's in people that have received Christ as their Savior. And that's a big teaching out there right now, that God's in all of us. He wasn't in me until I repented and received Christ, and that's exactly what happened to me. I then found the reality of Christ, even though even then I didn't realize everything that I had, and I still don't. So let me just read a couple things here just quickly on the exchange. For by one offering, or by one sacrifice, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Say being sanctified. I'll explain that in a minute. I had a scripture here, and I'm not sure what it, Hebrews 10:14. And if you don't have it, that's fine. I go too slow here. The one offering is the sacrifice Jesus made of himself on the cross. One offering. Say one. It don't complicate it. Religion will complicate the truth. The one offering is the sacrifice he, Jesus, made of himself on the cross. Okay, that's, you know, the simplicity of Christ. You're not moved away from that. And by that one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Now, he made a perfect offering, but the reality of that offering is being perfected in those that are set apart. We don't have a full revelation of it. Some people live and die, and they never even hear of an exchange on the cross. This means to say he has provided every need, say every need, for time and eternity. Isn't that profound? This just goes right by our minds, doesn't it? It's profound. The cross. The truth about the cross. By one offering, he has perfected forever. Say forever. This is an eternal act of those who are, say, being. See, because you're being, you're growing in the reality of what the cross provided. This means to say he has provided every need for time and eternity in every area of life for every person who trusts in him. Or we could do a little bit better at that, but there is nothing more that he can do. He has done it all, and it is one complete sufficient sacrifice. The sacrifice itself is perfect. You can't improve on it. Then it speaks about those who are being sanctified. You're in the process of what the Bible calls sanctification, being set apart to the reality of the truth. Those who are being sanctified, say being sanctified. Say, I'm being sanctified. It's basically an ongoing process. Now, how do we cultivate that ongoing process? You know, one of the ways is to definitely renew our mind to the exchange on the cross. Let's look at it just for a minute. Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Is the Lord speaking here? Yeah, we've been updated. A living sacrifice. Now, the Bible tells us to present our bodies to him as a living sacrifice. Have you ever done that? I mean, have you ever really done that? Have you ever really gone before God and made a decision that you're presenting your body, you might not have as much trouble with it as a living sacrifice. Have you given your body as a living sacrifice? I believe most Christians haven't even thought about it. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He made you holy, whether you recognize it or not. Now let's look at verse 12:2. Let's look at the next verse, Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world. There's our whole problem right there. We're being conformed to the world. Christians are living in the world. We're living in the world, the world system. It is such a powerful system. It is such a strong system. And we don't even know what's happening. But be transformed. Now, how are you going to be transformed? By the renewing of your mind. You have to renew your mind. God has to do the transforming, but are you renewing your mind? Are you renewing your mind? That you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Are you renewing your mind to the exchanges on the cross? Are you doing that daily? Are you thinking about these exchanges? See? And I don't know, here again, I had Hebrews 10:14. Next time I'll print it out because I can't. Right now I'm not. So we'll pass it by right now. But the one offering is the sacrifice he, Jesus, made of himself on the cross. One offering. One offering. There's all kinds of offerings in the world. The world's full of offerings. Religion is full of offerings. But there's only one that God honors. Okay? You can do all kinds of religious things, but there's only one that God honors. And by this one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. This means to say he has provided every need for time and eternity in every area of life for every person who trusts him. Now the cross has never diminished in that sacrifice, that power. Never. It's just as powerful as the day that Jesus said, "It is finished." Not losing its power. We're just losing the reality of the truth of it. Okay, right? I mean, that's what happened. There's nothing more that he can do. He has done it all, and it is one complete, sufficient sacrifice. Now, maybe he can help us see it. I don't mean it that way, but I'm talking about the cross itself. There's no room for improvement. It's yours. It's the sacrifice that he made for you. It's not about you. It's not about God accepting you. He's already accepted you. You just don't know it. And so then it speaks of those who are being sanctified, set apart. Now, It's obviously the ongoing process. Let's look real quick at Romans 12 again, 1 and 2. Let's look at it again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let's go to verse 2 again. We read it already, but let's go to verse 2. And be not conformed. We've got a fight with the world here. The world is conforming people. And it's all good. It all sounds good. They've got people lined up putting up these data centers that are absolutely taking over this country. Why are they putting them up? Because they're being paid good money to put them up. Until they find out they're going to be one of the victims. Won't say any more, but you need to wake up at what's happening in our country. So what Jesus did once and for all is total and complete. What Jesus has done once and for all is complete, but we find that our appreciation of the process is ongoing. Okay. Let's look at one more scripture. You still got time. I'm not. If I go too long, I lose you. So this is what I was trying to talk about last week in Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 7. And this is what I was trying to help you understand. I'm trying to help myself understand it too. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. You need to have a season every day where you begin to meditate on the exchange on the cross, the things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Let's look at the next verse. Colossians, set your affections. Where is our affection? Think about your life a little bit here. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. I have to escape this earth. I'll lay in bed and think about all the wonderful things on the earth, but they're not enough. And so I have usually at least twice a day, if I can, I'll set my affections on things above. I'll seek things above. And then all I allow my mind to think about and my mouth to speak is things above, from above. And so let me just close with a couple thoughts here, because I just wish I could go on forever with this. We need to start from the point that Christ's actual sacrifice is total and complete. Say total and complete. It's total and complete. We're not totally conforming to it, but it's total and complete. God didn't cheat us when Jesus died on the cross. The last utterance on the cross is, say it with me, it is finished. It is finished. Say it again, it is finished. Say it again, it is finished. Boy, you need to be speaking that every day. Let me just close with this. But in the Greek, because I laid this out, I want to finish it. In the Greek, that one single word is tell. Somebody repeat. Tet. Well, there it is anyway. And it's the perfect tense of a verb, which I know nothing about. Mary knows all about all this stuff. Dick knows facts and figures. Mary knows words. That's important. That means to do something perfect. When Jesus died on the cross, he did something perfect. Now you can talk about perfection in a lot of different ways in life, but nothing will equal the fact that Jesus' work on the cross was a perfect work. It's not, maybe you don't see the reality of it, but it's there, right? You didn't going to change it. You just don't know, you just don't identify with it. So you could say it is perfection, it is perfection, perfect, perfection, perfect, complete, complete. We need to be meditating on that reality. We need to daily meditate on that reality. We need to receive the grace of the Holy Spirit to understand that reality. We need to receive the power of the Holy Spirit to walk in that reality. We're in a world that is at odds with us and trying to deceive us. Okay, so I'm gonna close here now, but the to do something perfect. There has never been an act of Jesus where true perfection was accomplished. The key of what happened on the cross is that a divinely ordained exchange took place. Now, it's our responsibility to renew our mind to that exchange, okay? All the evil was due by justice to the human race was visited on Jesus, that all the good due to the single obedience of Jesus might be made available to us who believe. Okay, so there it is. And then of course I have the 10 divine exchanges with scripture on them. I mean, that would be the ultimate place to start where the changes were made on the cross. I have it right here. And I've got the scriptures, and of course I'd have to have another 40 minutes now or more. But it's here.